Now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we ask this for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, there's a theme in two of our readings today, from Nehemiah and from Acts, themes of resistance to the guidance of others. A great picture of this attitude can be seen in the modern car seat. Try to get a small child buckled into a car seat that doesn't want to be buckled in. They resist, they squirm, they fight, they cry out. But at some point, many of the kids just go rigid. Go ahead, try to buckle me in. The amazing thing is the children actually believe in those moments that they will triumph over you and they'll get to just ride wherever they want to sit in the car. Animals can have a similar response to their owners. When they don't want to do or to go where they're being led, they also will get rigid. Walk a dog and the dog will stop and say, "I'm not ready to move on." You see the same rigidity, whether a dog, a horse, a goat, or a sheep. They literally stiffen their necks in their refusal. You also may have noticed there is a contrast in our scriptures between those two scriptures and Psalm 23 and John 10. The stiff necks of Nehemiah and Acts contrasted with the submissive sheep. Nehemiah, this was a situation where God's people were returning to the Lord and they were hearing God's word read and they were repenting of their sins before the Lord. They were reminded of their history when their ancestors rejected the Lord. It was a picture of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments while he's up on the mountain and the people that had just been freed from Egypt, just been released from slavery, miraculously passing through the Red Sea, roughly 40 days later, a little over a month. And they were already asking for new gods. Aaron, make us new gods. And the golden calf was made. Looking back at that occurrence in Exodus 32, God declared to Moses, so Moses is up on the mountain, and God says to him, "My people have turned aside from me. And they've corrupted themselves. I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people." After all that the Lord did for them, the miracles through Moses, miraculous deliverance from Egypt, the giving of food and water, they rejected him. They stiffened their necks against him. Then Acts, reading from chapters 6 and 7, the story of Stephen. Stephen was one of the leaders in the very early church. This is in the months or early year after Jesus' death and resurrection. Stephen's confronted by Jewish religious leaders and others in the community that were opposing this new movement. They were against Jesus. They were against his followers. Stephen is said to be full of grace and power. And also in Acts, we're told that Stephen's accusers couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit, the Holy Spirit with which he was speaking. Stephen gave a really long answer to them, and we didn't have time to read that entire answer. It's almost a whole chapter, but I encourage you to read that. Stephen, much like we just read in Nehemiah, tells the history. Remember. He reminded the religious leaders and God's people, all those listening to him, remember how God had delivered you. Remember also how your ancestors had historically rejected the Lord's lordship. Ultimately, he connected their behavior to the story of their people. Their behavior, rebelling against Jesus, to their ancestors. And he says, "You stiff-necked people." Well, they would have known what he was referring to. They would have heard the echo to Nehemiah, the echo to Exodus. Stephen said, you stiff-necked people, you're no different from your ancestors. They rejected Almighty God, their Redeemer, who freed them from slavery and provided for them. And now you reject Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and you persecute his followers. Stiff-necked is used here as an adjective for those who are stubborn, those who are unwilling to follow others. It more broadly means those who are proud, unwilling to do what others want, hard-hearted, those that are difficult to lead. An ox or other animal of labor that's stiff-necked and continually refuses its owner's efforts to guide is ultimately a disappointment because it's useless for any real work. Those members of God's chosen people who refuse the Lord's guidance are stiff-necked, much as we've read. They're ultimately useless for his work. We see a direct contrast to stiff-neckedness, if I could call it that. We see a contrast to that in the sheep, found in Psalm 23 in our gospel reading from John chapter 10. Psalm 23, many of you know it. You can think it. You can speak it. It portrays the Lord as shepherd who provides for and guides and protects his sheep. He makes them lie down in green pastures. He makes them lie down in green pastures. Even when they don't want to, he directs them and they're submissive to him. They want to keep going. He makes them lie down. They lie down. He knows what they need. Jesus uses the same imagery, which would have been commonly understood, applying it to himself in John 10, referring to himself as the shepherd and the door. It's a much longer passage. It goes through verse 18, but we only read this morning verses 1 through 10, the shepherd and the door. We, in our culture, we need a little help in understanding what Jesus' first century hearers would have pictured. So the first point is the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Here's a little first century cultural context. Each family in a Jewish area would have had animals, one sheep or two sheep or some goats. Each day, or whatever the week was, one of the children that was chosen for that week would go to each house and would call to the sheep, and the door would be opened by the owners. This is the gatekeeper opening, and the sheep would be let out, and then that child or children would lead the sheep out into pasture, and they might be out there for a few days. So that's the context. Each of these shepherds would have been known by the sheep, and the sheep would have recognized their voice or their call, or they might have had a distinct flute that they played or a whistle. They would have been stiff-necked to any other voice than their shepherd. Because when they're out in the field, so they went from field to field, there weren't that many watering holes in Israel, so when you went to a watering hole, you were going to encounter other towns' shepherds with their sheep. Now you've got all these sheep intermingling. Because they were stiff-necked to other voices, all the shepherd needed to do was call and move away. And their sheep would follow. The other sheep would be stiff-necked to that voice. They would resist. Even when it was well-meaning, they would only heed their own shepherd. And it's also said the shepherd would know the sheep's voice, the names. I imagine how that would work around a watering hole. Bob! I'm not directing anything towards you, Bob. Bob or Mary or, you know, how many names could they have for sheep with all of the sheep? But the sheep knew the voice. So the sheep knew the shepherd's voice and were resistant to other voices. Second, Jesus says that he's the door to the sheep. Now, we hear the terms door and sheepfold. We naturally picture probably some sort of fenced-in area with a swinging gate or a door. In Jesus' time, a sheepfold would have been an area in the field, an enclosure made of piled rocks with thorn bushes on top, Remember, they were going from field to field, so they'd find one that no one was using, or they'd have to build one. They'd build this enclosure. They'd lead the sheep in. And then the shepherd, at night, would sleep across the entrance. The shepherd was the door. Jesus now takes this imagery and he applies it to himself. He says, I am the door. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. They were unfaithful leaders trying to lead the sheep astray. They are not to be followed, Jesus says. He says, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. Salvation. They will go in and out and find pasture. And Jesus there claims what the Jewish ears would have heard, Psalm 23. He leads them to green pastures. He leads them to quiet waters. He sets a table before them in the presence of their enemies. He provides for them. The picture we're seeing here of the sheep is that they're submissive to Jesus. They recognize his voice. They allow themselves to be guided by him, to be led in and to let out, to be made to lie down when they don't want to. When he directs, they obey. Verse 10, Jesus, as the shepherd, declares that he has come that his sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, as the shepherd, the good shepherd, his influence is life, whereas the thief's influence, another contrast, the thief's influence is death. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and Jesus is the door. He's the gate. One final point, the salvation that the good shepherd offers isn't merely individual. These aren't individual sheep that he's leading one by one by one. He knows each sheep by name, but he brings them into the community of the flock. Salvation, therefore, is membership in a flock that's called, guided, provided for by Jesus Christ. This imagery of Jesus as the good shepherd, as the door for his sheep, it's very important for you today. It still applies. First and foremost, it applies. And it begs the question, do you believe in Jesus? Are you following him as shepherd? Or whether you don't yet? Are you a member of his flock by faith? Or are you still outside of the flock and thereby you're in danger to the thief? If you are his sheep, we know there is still danger. Because as Peter wrote to the early church, your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The thief will call to you, even if you're one of Jesus' flock. He will seek to lead you astray, to lead you away. He'll seek to steal, to kill, to destroy you, to destroy your faith. So you must be careful to listen for the voice of the shepherd. As Jesus' follower, it will be helpful to keep this shepherd-sheep imagery in mind, because many voices, many things, many desires will daily seek to lead you away, to steal, kill, and destroy. You'll do well to pay attention and to listen. Here are two things, if you want to make note of, so what's this mean for me? Here are two things for you to do. The first is to listen to the Lord's voice. If you're a sheep, you can hear, but you must listen to it. How does he give us his voice? Well, he's given us his living and active word, Holy Scriptures. Listen to the Lord's voice and His direction in Holy Scriptures regularly. Spend time in His teaching so that it will be in you, so that when temptation comes, when struggle and pain come, you have it available to you. You don't need to look it up because it will be in you, God's living Word. So listen to the Lord's voice. The second, listen for the Lord's voice. By His Holy Spirit, He will speak. As His sheep, the Lord is your shepherd. And the Lord will guide you by His Holy Spirit. He'll guide you in His ways and His paths for you. And He'll direct you away from the thief's murderous ways. He will direct and protect you. When you feel lost, as sheep are wont to get lost, when you feel lost, He will find you. When you feel alone, as if abandoned in the field, you can know that the shepherd, the good shepherd is watching over you. He knows you. He knows where you are. He's with you always. Even in pain. Even in grief. Even in turmoil, He, the good shepherd, is always with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. Don't be easily led astray by the thief, by false teaching of this world. The thief will take God's word and twist it, taking a little bit of truth and adding something else to lead the sheep astray. Resist the temptations. Resist the half-truths of this world. Know God's word. Know His truth. And obediently follow your good shepherd. Because, as I stated at the beginning, those members of God's chosen people who refuse the Lord's guidance and who are stiff-necked toward Him, ultimately, it will render us useless for His work. Resist the voice of the thief and allow the Lord as your shepherd to lead, guide, and direct you, and stay connected to your flock. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.